Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Supercoach Co-Captain Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Taggers are back, ruining our lives, and the buys are almost over. So there's the good and bad news, and we are here to help you navigate it, as always. Well, most of the time.
Yeah. We'll start off with our group winner, Paddo, and that was Alistair's team called the Slappers. Had a big 2,143. Who do you have?
Yeah, they slapped, so good job, Alistair. But the see on Dacos switch, it was probably a bit nervous at three-quarter time, but Clarko forgot how to coach, so that got him a nice captain score. But Dan Houston owner, I mean, fucking hell. Bailey Dale and Sheasel in defense. So huge scores from that line for Alistair. Bont, Laird, and Goulden in midfield. Nice contributions from them. Grundy in the ruck, who is looking back at R2 Dano, which is so funny because people have chopped and changed about who the R2 is going to be behind Gorn. And you've just got to roll with it. Like, they'll have ebbs and flows, and it's all about matchups and all that sort of stuff. And I mean, I nearly turned Grundy into Gorn myself at the first buy when Grundy was on his buy, but I'm glad I stuck through because he may not score much less than Gorn on the rest of the year, and it is scary anti-potting Gorn, but I don't think Grundy will be too much behind. Anyway, I'm getting off track. Alistair has Heaney, Zorko, and Luke Jackson in his forward line as well. So, those all helped him get a massive 2-1-4-3. So great job, Alistair.
Yeah. Now we'll move on to injuries and suspensions, Paddo. There's some LDU rumours swirling at the moment. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so there's really not much in terms of Supercoach relevancy for injuries, but I did see in a group chat that we're in, Dano, that there is LDU. There was a rumour that he went in for an MRI on an undisclosed injury. So I think we need to just be mindful of that. Yeah. Tom Powell owners, stand by. He may become the half-relevant, half-primo like he was 2 weeks ago. But, just keep an eye on team sheets for that. And if you do own him, be mindful that he could be a late out. And a Saturday night game with only two games after that makes it very awkward. So just make sure you have a contingency plan. I know a lot of people are struggling to field 17, 18, 19, and we're fucking all very glad that Zach Butters got off on his appeal because you own the horny one.
Because I own the horny one. Yep, correct.
Yes. LDU owners, we're pretty happy at the moment, but just keep an eye out on that one.
I think Lekalier owners might be a little bit happy as well, Paddo, because
what happened there? I saw that as I was jumping in the call.
Yeah, so after the Giants celebrated their win, like, Sam Taylor was so overwhelmed with the win that he busted a nut, literally. And so he his testicle has ruptured and he's out indefinitely.
Has he actually ruptured his testicle?
Apparently so.
Damn.
It's being reported everywhere that he is out indefinitely, like, from very reliable sources. I'll even go to Fox Footy right now on their Facebook, and I reckon there'll be a post about it straight away. And GWS star Sam Taylor out indefinitely with ruptured testicle.
Yeah, there's every man's nightmare. Hopefully Slammer is okay and back slamming.
Yeah, so Lekalier owners, like, very, very relevant for them.
We might have to add him onto the run sheet, Dano.
Oh, I think he's at mid-price stage now, Paddo.
Yeah, we'll have to add him in as a primo trading option. Some people might be working with that budget.
Yeah, maybe. We'll move on to rookies first, though. So realistically, there's not a whole lot on offer at the moment, Paddo. So two of the good rookies on the bubble don't actually play in Dowling and Kruger. Bit of DPP cover on the bench with those guys. And then you got Kieran Strawn, 123K ruck, 69 average. Probably wouldn't trade him in, Pato.
Yeah, so just on those first two, Dowling and Kruger, I think if you can somehow get 18 or 19 on field and you need to cash, I think it's probably safe to go at Dowling or Kruger this week as a obviously a buy bench option just to maximize that cash if you need it. Obviously, to get your primo trade-in target there. I think they're pretty safe in the 22s for the next month or so at least. I think
Dowling is. I'm quite worried about Dowling. So I'm trying to hold off until I see another, like his name actually in the team sheet, which will be next round. So I'm holding off this round.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Kieran Strawn. Would you trade him in?
No, absolutely not. It's obviously team dependent on this. I'm quite happy with Livingston at R3 because it means I've got Luke Jackson as ruck cover if I need. If Grundy or English, my two rucks miss for whatever reason, I've got Luke Jackson to swing forward and Joe Richards to come on and not score. So, yeah.
That's where I like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, yeah.
Invading your dreams, causing nightmares for oppositions. opposition. Carl Warner, I've asked you to put this guy on the run sheet, Pato, and that's because he is on the bubble. He's 134K, minus 63, break-even 71 average. But after talking with our mate Damo from the Footy Mailbag, who is an avid Fremantle fan, he said straight away, if Chapman's fit, Warner goes out no matter how well he's basically played, and he played pretty all right. So that doesn't fill me with confidence.
Yeah, I feel like Warner could be best on ground this weekend, and he'd still probably get dropped for either of those two. And they're both listed as tests, so you'd think at least one of them gets up for this weekend. So, yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. He's averaging 71. It would be perfect for this week to get a nice 70 on field. But you don't want another dead defensive rookie because most teams already have two of those. So,
yeah.
I'd be avoiding Warner.
Yeah. We got Ari Schoenmaker here. He's got the bye. Only played the one game. 117K defender, minus 36 break even. Remember on draft day when I was screaming on Twitter about the Giants to draft him because I can't believe he slid into the 60s?
Yeah.
I think it was in the 60s. And then straight away St Kilda picked him up. I'm like, oh, well, never mind. There's a reason. The dude was a top 10 draft pick until he made a mistake in under 18s, alcohol-related, underage drinking and whatnot, and recruiters doubted his professionalism. So, yeah, I understand why he slid, but that's benefited us as super coaches, Pato, because he's 117K defender and he realistically is a top 10 draft pick, so he should be priced much higher. And he is a fucking elite kick and is just built for supercoach.
His first kick in AFL Dono was scintillating.
Yep.
The only question mark is Dono. Did he just come in to cover Nasai Wanganeen-Mililira, who missed due to a personal issue? Or will he ultimately end up replacing Riley Bonner?
I think he
now, Riley Bonner did get shifted to a wing on the weekend against the Lions while Ari played in defense. So hopefully that means that Bonner's either going to get dropped for Wanganeen-Mililira coming back and Schoenmaker keeps his defensive spot, or it's a permanent positional change and Ari's safe. But I mean, if he didn't play for St Kilda, I'd probably say he's pretty safe in the 23 or 22. But I'd be waiting a week and just see what happens next week, which is a shame because you'd want to maybe bring him in this week to maximize that cash.
See, I'm different. We're different on Dowling and we're different on Ari here because I think that he's shown enough. And what Ross, the boss, wants to do is have elite ball movement, and he gets that from Ari. And
so why isn't it taking 14 weeks for him to debut then?
Because he hadn't Nasai Wanganeen-Mililira in his way and Riley Bonner playing on heat. But now Riley Bonner's not really playing on heat, is he?
No, he's not.
So he's taking his opportunity. I think he's fine. And I'm willing to take the punt on him early. Now, The next bloke, Paddo, is really maximising your downgrade, which is Jack Hutchinson. 102K forward. He's got a break even of 2 and an average of 40. He's got big Jakey Waterman up there with him, and also Oscar Allen, I think, comes back soon. So I think it'll actually be good for him if Oscar Allen comes in, because then he's the third best tall. Well, I reckon Jack Darling gets pushed out, and old mate Hutchison, if he just slots a couple here and there, he'll be fine. And even if he doesn't, you've downgraded to 102K forward, so who gives a fuck?
I thought Hutchinson was a small.
I can't remember. I thought he was a key. 190 centimetres, mate.
Oh, mid-size.
Yeah, you confused the fuck out of me then.
There you have it.
Surely he's not a mighty mouse. Otherwise, everyone else is short. Yeah, so 190 centimetres, versatile as fuck. Yeah, I actually don't mind a downgrade with him and just keeping him as F8.
And he'll get you 40-odd points this week.
Yeah. It doesn't matter about his price rises and whatnot. It's more so the fact he's a warm body and he's 102K, his bargain basement price.
Yeah.
So you get your full maximization. Now, the last one we've got on the list, Paddo, and this is the one that intrigues me and not many people are talking about, Paddo, and that's Colton Falstrip. 153K mid, 34 average, only played the one, but with Petrarca out, will he get the midfield time? Will he get games? I heard you say to me before we started recording this potty that Goodwin had some words about him.
Yeah, I saw it on X today. I can't remember the exact quote, but I know he said that he's been doing great in the VFL forward of centre, which sounds a lot like a guy that's just been ruled out for the rest of the season that was playing in that Melbourne midfield.
All right, here we go. I got your quote for you.
Beautiful.
Okay, so you go down, down, down. It's all about fucking old mate Christian Petrarca here. Christian Petrarca. Here we go. Goodwin said number 13 pick Colton Falstrip would be strongly considered to replace Petrarca after he was sent back to the VFL following a difficult debut as a permanent forward. The 186-centimetre prospect had 29 disposals, 5 tackles and kicked 1 goal 2 playing through the midfield in a heavy VFL win over Collingwood before the bye. And Goodwin said, we'll bring in a player and expand some players' roles to try and fill that void. It's not just about one player. It's about a team. It's about a method and it's about a collective, and that's what we need to do. Falstrip has progressed really strongly in the VFL. He's certainly gone back and developed his game from a midfield perspective and also forward of centre. He's someone we'll look at really closely. He's a high draft pick with high talent. He gives enormous effort. He's tough. So he's someone that we'll certainly look at. But it's not guaranteed.
Yeah. And he has already played one game and he was a sub and he got a 30-odd, I think, from memory, Dano. So
someone to consider for next
week. Yeah, it could be a risk bringing him in this week. I mean, if he's named in the midfield, he does play North Melbourne, so it could be worth the risk this week, Dano, but it's also probably a sub risk.
Mm.
But at the same time, he could play midfield and score 80-odd and all of a sudden be a really good F7 and maybe even loopable if he is playing midfield and getting pretty good time in there.
Yeah. So, I honestly, with your downgrades and whatnot, like this is where I know money's scarce and whatnot for people. This is a guy that I'd actually consider bringing in. Like you've got your Frasers and your Sullivans and whatnot that are on their buy, so they're not going to go up or down in price. If you've got enough players playing and you want to see how Falstrip goes, I'd honestly consider holding one of Sullivan or Fraser.
Yeah, I mean, both have a bit more money to make.
Yeah, but also nah.
Mm.
But I
like it's all about warm bodies this week, though, Dano.
Yeah, correct. Anyway, we'll go on to some bodies that are actually playing, Paddo, and this is our primo trade-ins, and we're going a little bit different this time around because giving people multiple different budget on different budgets, different price points for players if they're being desperate. I know I've seen many people say they've only got like 5 trades left. That is mind-boggling to me. But no, many in the community only have about 5 trades left and I've got 12. So like So some of us are in a good position, some of us aren't. Some of us are at full primo, some of us aren't. So here we go. We're going to dive into the defenders to start with, and the most obvious fucking one that we spoke about already in previous podcasts is Jordan Ridley, 563K, 128 average, 12% owned, 106 break-even. That 12% owned is baffling to me, Paddo. I don't have him, but I'm trying to find a way to bring him in without compromising the rest of my team.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised he doesn't appear in the most traded in. Wait, he's not appearing because he's in my team. Never mind. I'm surprised he's not being talked about as a trading option this week. He's been traded in by 1,800 coaches right now with a matchup against West Coast, if you don't mind, this week. So,
yeah,
he's currently the highest averaging defender in the whole of Supercoach, and that's ahead of Luke Ryan. Obviously, hasn't played nearly as many games as Luke Ryan.
Hmm.
The role is the same as Luke Ryan. It's a seagull role in defense. He'll take the third tall or like just a random small that isn't damaging and just float off him. If anything, I think Ridley's role is a little bit better because he gets the intercepts that Ryan doesn't, whereas Ryan probably takes a higher majority of kick-ins. But the intercepts are worth more than the kick-ins. I think Ridley is up there with Ryan in terms of scoring power. Obviously, 80,000 cheaper, but the concern is those calves.
Yeah.
But sometimes you've got to take these sort of risks, and 12% is huge. And this is the sort of pick that will, help you make up ground for the rest of the competition.
You can get a carbon copy, essentially, of Luke Ryan.
Yep, without the peroxide.
Without the peroxide. Then, yeah, I say get him. Next one, Dan Houston, 574. I fucking hate this, by the way. Dan Houston cost me one of my eight league wins. Fucker. 574K, 114 average, 23% owned, and 63 break-even. I lost by, it was 13, Paddo.
So speaking of leagues, I played Tate in our League One.
Yeah.
And Dan Houston allowed him to come from absolutely nowhere and draw with me. And I was projecting to get 100 points more than him. I can't remember the unique in my team, but it was someone that got a heavy tag, and he had Dan Houston that, scored like his life was depending on it.
Yeah.
And we had a draw.
That's hectic.
Yeah.
If Dan Houston can go back to what he was scoring at the start of the season, just being that reliable, 100 guy, even if it's not over, 150 or something like that, just, 110, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a really consistent scorer, which is ironic because he's always been the inconsistent guy. But I think he'll give you 90 to 110 or 95 to 110 with the odd 140 to 160 game, sort of odd spike score. So that's obviously really, really good. The run home isn't too bad either. He does have Sydney in round 21 who might give him a bit of attention. But other than that, it looks pretty good.
Yep. I just realized something, Paddo. I'm not too sure. I'm just going to double check. Just on Thulstrup, let me double check. Just going off on a tangent here.
Dan Thulstrup,
he's not a midfielder on Supercoach. He's a forward only. Yeah, fuck.
But most people have a Manor or a Dowling that you can DPP with anyway. Hey, Thulstrup might score more than a lot of people's F6.
Hmm.
And that's not even a joke.
Yeah. Crazy. But yeah, crazy. Sorry. I thought I'd just go off on a tangent there because I was fiddling around with my team just while you were talking. I was like, where the fuck is he? Anyway, moving on to Max Holmes. Here's one for the Nerds for Life Supercoach. Loves himself some Max Holmes. 575K, 104 average. 10% owned at 114 break even. He's got an 111 five round average, Paddo.
He does. The last month, he's had over 40% CBAs, with two of those at about 70%. And in those four games, he's gone 104, 134, 133, and 88. So obviously, really, really good. Dangerfield is to come back, I'm pretty sure, this week, and they've got Guthrie a couple of weeks away. So buyer beware there. He may go back to his defense role. He was still scoring fine in defense.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not a bad thing.
Yep.
His former teammate, Jordan Clark, now at Freo, not to be mistaken with Jai Clark, 583K, 106 average, 8% owned, with a 128 break even. Still looking good. I mean, Luke Ryan had a fucking sub 100 score as well. So, mind you, Luke Ryan's averaging in the 70s for me, Paddo. Fuck you, Luke Ryan. yeah, Jordan Clark, still a good option.
Yep, I agree. I think you need to put last week's score behind. They got pumped. I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. We're going to go into the low.
Probably, sorry, Dana. He'll probably have a big score this week as well.
Yeah, okay. We're going to go into the low 500s here for this next one. And POD territory, so only 1% of teams. That's Mason Redmond, 515K, 93 average with a 93 break-even. He's got a five-round average of 105 since Ridley has come back. And with Nick Martin doing God fucking knows what, Paddo, is he an option or is he too inconsistent?
So with Nick Martin moving up the ground, I actually really like Redmond's potential. Shout out to Patch for pointing this out. I won't try and take the credit for Redmond. In the three games that Ridley has played, he's got 95, 105, and 103. It's not a bad option. Worth noting, though, that those three opponents were North Melbourne, Richmond, and then Gold Coast. But he's got West Coast this week. Imagine having those four back to back to back to back. That's pretty nuts. But yeah, not a bad POD. There's probably better options, but it's an option.
Yeah. Can I just say something on the Gold Coast thing? Gold Coast at their home ground.
Been away from Gold Coast.
Gold Coast at their home ground look like a top two team. Gold Coast away from their home ground look like a bottom two team.
Yeah, and I think they've only got three or four games left at their stadium.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
Four left they've got up there.
Yeah, anyway. This one is a bit of an interesting one because I don't actually know if he's actually returning, Paddo, because I thought those still said he was indefinite. That's Colby McKercher, 379K, 75 average, 20% owned still. Holy fuck, and minus five break even.
So he was off the injury report and they've said he'll play this weekend. So
yeah.
Yeah. If you've got balls of steel and you are broke, Colby McKercher.
Or if you're one of those 20%, hold.
So, yeah, in the three games that he played with Sheasel in the midfield, not sharking all of the kicks down there, 102, 135, and 91. I'm really hoping McKercher coming back doesn't damage Fisher, but we'll obviously have to wait and see. Hopefully both of them can still get the lion's share of possessions down there and still be fine.
Yep. Yeah, agreed.
But if you are really cheap and you really need a cheap option, I think McKercher is the guy.
Yep. Move on to
midfielders. Jaden Shaw probably should have made this as well.
Yeah, okay. Midfielders time. So we'll start with Zachy Merritt, 577K. He's 118 average, 23% owned, and 115 break even. Now, Paddo, you've pointed something out on the run sheet. What is there something to be wary of with Zachy Merritt?
So the problem with Merritt, Merritt's a great price. We know how much of a gun he is. We know how good he scores. But thanks to Ross Lyon, taggers are back.
Yep.
Now, West Coast have been tagging with Dom Sheed. He plays West Coast this week. Dom Sheed isn't a great tagger, but he does something.
Yeah.
Then Zach Merritt has Geelong next week, and I'm almost certain they will send a Mark O'Connor or something to him. Geelong don't tag every week, but they tag enough for it to be a concern. Merritt also only have just 98 against Geelong in 12 games, so one of his lowest scoring opponents for his career. Then he plays Collingwood in round 17. Collingwood don't tag. That is a fantastic matchup. Then he's got Melbourne, who have been tagging, and I think with Petrarca going out, they'll probably look at even more tagging with Alex Neil-Bullen or someone else. Then they have Adelaide. Essendon have Adelaide, and Mokolani has been tagging for Adelaide. Also only averages 99 against Adelaide, which is interesting. Then the Saints, almost certain. I would almost put my house on the fact that he will get a hard tag in that game. Freo, after that, Freo are sometimes taggers. But a guy like Merritt, they probably will put some time into him. It'll be a Hayden Young sort of playing a little bit more accountable in that round. Then he plays Gold Coast at Marvel, which is a fantastic matchup for Taggers. But then he, sorry, as non-Taggers. But then the final two games of the year, he has Sydney, almost certain to get a tag there. And then Brisbane, who have been tagging with Berry. So, yeah, he may only have two non-tag games for the rest of the year. So, something to weigh up. It's worth noting that Merritt has got a lot better at fighting through tags. He scored 131 against St Kilda in round three with a tag. Scored 125 in his last game against Carlton, where Chincotta was hanging off him all game. Pushed through that. So there has been instances where he's done well still, regardless of the tag. 132 in round two against Sydney as well, with a bit of attention. But just something to keep in mind,
yeah,
that if you're worried about the tag being back, maybe you avoid Zach Merritt. But on the flip side, 577K for Zach Merritt is fool's gold.
Yeah. We'll move on. Here's a bit of a POD. In 5% of teams, that's Noah Anderson, 547K, 109 average, 64 break even. So as frustrating as it is, teams have been putting attention to Tuke. And it fucking sucks. But that if they're putting attention into Tuke, that means that Noah Anderson isn't getting that hard tag like he like teams were doing. Now, I just want to see what his run is like. So he's got Freo this week, and I think it gets then it's Collingwood, so that's not great, but that's at home. But then he's got North.
Collingwood's a good matchup. They don't tag.
But then he's got North.
Yep, good matchup.
So that's dope as fuck. Then Port, don't know about that one, to be honest.
Yeah, we don't know where they'll send their tag to.
Yeah. Then he's got the Giants, which Toby Bedford's been tagging, but do they go... Toby Bedford is a good endurance runner, so something tells me he'll go to Tuke rather than Anderson. Then Lions, do they tag Tuke or do they tag Anderson?
Realistically, there's three guys in that midfield that they could all get a tag, depending on the matchup. Yeah.
I don't think they'll ever tag Rowell.
Maybe.
I don't think they ever will tag Rowell. Then he's got the Eagles. Then he's got the Bombers. And then the final two games, he's got Melbourne and then Richmond.
The average is a cool 141 against Richmond with a low of 126.
That'd be a cool one to trade in for the final, like, game if you've got your trades.
Yep. Yeah. Like, if you've got one trade left at the end of the year and almost certain that one of your mids will get a hard tag, fuck, no, Anderson's the guy.
Oh, yeah. 100%. But yeah, 547K. This is the thing with these midfielders, right? Midfielders, like your primo midfielders, are usually like, fuck yeah, 100 each week. This year, they're so fucking bipolar. Some of these guys, you got your fucking Greens, your Millers, your Lairds, your who else is there? Fucking Sam Walsh, a little bit even.
All of them. Lockie, Butters, yeah. Dawson.
Yeah, it's just weird. The only real consistent one is Bont.
Well, yeah, he's the best player in the comp.
So, yeah, like it's...
He was in bed all week with the flu and drops 162.
I know, right? It's like fucking Max Gorn's calf. Drops a 180. These types of guys are really frustrating. It's Clayton Oliver, another one. But at the end of the day, like, no one's ultra consistent. So someone like Noah Anderson could be that good POD that you need.
And I think it also just highlights that you really need to assess the run home and back your gut. If you really like a guy's 6 out of 8 last games of the year, jump on him.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, do your research. And make your decision.
Yeah. I'm going to move on to the next bloke because this one's one that everyone's talking about. It's in 49% of teams. That's Tom Green. 456K, 100 average, 107 break even. Now, the dude loves playing Sydney. He's only had one real shit score against Sydney, and that was earlier this year when he got subbed out in like the first few minutes of the game. He likes playing against Sydney. I don't know why the matchup is. He just loves it. With guys like Cornelio and Kelly in the team, he scores bigger. Now, Kelly's just come back. Canelio's listed as a test paddo.
Can I say something here that probably will get a bit of conjecture?
Yeah, that's fine.
I think Tom Green from this point onwards will be a top six midfielder in Supercoach, and anyone that trades him out is going to severely regret it.
Yeah.
Now, his run home is majority non-tagging teams. So he's got Sydney this week, and as you said, that's a good matchup for him. He obviously just gets up for the derby, the Battle of the Bridge.
Yeah.
Then he's got Adelaide, who averages 117 against and hasn't dropped below 107 in his three games. Then he has Carlton, which he might get a bit of attention there from a Chincotta, but Chincotta's not big enough to go with a Tom Green. So,
and he usually just runs with Cripps.
Yeah, so I like that matchup. Then he's got Richmond and Gold Coast back-to-back, which are both delicious matchups for inside mids. Then he has Melbourne, who might go head-to-head with a Viney or Oliver type, but I like that matchup. He's got Hawthorn, which, you know, probably gives him a bit of a tag, then Brisbane, but then Freo and Western Bulldogs. So the run home is actually really good for midfielders. There's not too many tagging teams there. 456,000 is crazy value for a guy of Tom Green's ilk. He's 165K down on his start of season score, which means he provides massive, massive value. And I once again will say, if you trade him out this week, I am banking on the fact that you will severely regret it. He also stormed home last year when he was playing.
Yeah. And if you don't own him, trade him in.
Yep. I traded him in last week and I was disappointed by his score last week. But I did also pretty sure say on the pod that he will get tagged this week, but I'm still bringing him in.
Yeah. We'll move on. Next one's Clayton Oliver, 498K, 92 average, 18% owned, 121 break even. Now, when Petrarca went down, Oliver came alive, but he still looks a shadow of his former self, Paddo. But can he pull it together for these second half of the season run?
I think he can. I think he had 60-odd Supercoach in the second half.
I think it was 67.
Yeah, when after Petrarca went down. So I think it's great. And yeah, he will get tag attention. He's got the best ruckman in the comp slamming it down his throat.
Yep.
And also has a fairly high percentage of teams that don't tag on the way home. And North Melbourne this week, who he averages 122 against.
Yeah.
So I think Oliver's a good trade in.
I hope he doesn't go well because I traded him out.
Mm.
Personally, that was the week that I got Lockie Neal, and Lockie Neal I think was like one of my two that got over 100 in my mids, like a 132 on debut, and then got a 70 odd the next week, but I was preparing for that. Oliver, I hope he doesn't, but it won't surprise me if he does go good.
Yeah.
I want to move on to Connor Rosie though. So he's 418K, 91 average, 5% owned with a 130 break even. This is part of the reason why I was kind of hoping Butters wouldn't play, because I wanted to see Rosie get a good score and then me justify trading him in the following week. But it's probably better that Butters does play so then I can get a better data set. If he does play really well and get a 130, he doesn't change in price, Paddo. If he goes ridiculously good, let's say a 140, he barely goes up in price.
Yeah, you get a free look here.
If he gets 105, he still goes down in price.
Yeah, so I want to point out the fact that he obviously did his ankle and played through it a little bit, but his first five games of the year read 114, 90, 102, 152, 125. And if you can get that for 400 to 420K, I think it's great. And I understand people might want to see a good score before bringing him in, so I can understand waiting a week, but I think now is the time that he really starts to score really well. The CBAs are back up, I think, from memory. Yep, so 61% CBAs, which is pretty good for him. I think he's a great trading option. Even if you don't need a cheaper player, if you haven't completed your midfield and Rosie is your M8, I'm okay with that, because that might mean that you're getting Isaac Rankin as your F5, F6 instead of, I don't know, Harry Mackay. And I'd be more confident in Rankin than Mackay.
Fair enough.
So there's something to think about. I also don't mind Rosé as an M9 if you have the funds and trades to do that.
That's what I'm
And you can
about.
Just play the loophole game. You can try and play Russian roulette with the taggers and just analyze who the matchups are. And maybe you got a guy playing Friday night that you know, I mean, maybe he's playing Port Adelaide who send Willem Drew to guys and you just put them on the bench and you're pretty confident. Actually, it wouldn't be Port Adelaide because Rosie plays for them. That's a really bad example. Maybe your team plays Sydney on the Friday night and you're pretty sure that Rowbottom or someone is going to go loophole him and you bring in your non-playing 1 or 2K mid rookie and take Rosie's score instead. So this just for loophole reasons. I like Rosie.
Yeah. Next one for the midfield is Jack Viney, 488K, 93 average, just 2% of teams and a 134 break even. Now, last time around, he went absolutely fucking bananas when Clary was out. Now we got no Petrarca for the rest of the year. Could this be Viney time, Paddy?
I think it could be. This is obviously a risk for sure, but he's shown that when getting a more prominent midfield role where he's not just being like a defensive mid, he's shown a really high ceiling, like 140, 150 plus ceiling. So I think he's someone that could sort of explode. And we could look back in round 20 and Jack Viney could be sitting on a 125 five-round average and we thought, fuck. I mean, oh, yeah, that's kind of obvious because Petrarca went out and Viney's the next best thing. So could be one of those ones that we look back at. I think he's great value. It's risky, yes, but I think he's great. He's got great pedigree.
I just want to point out his last, round 16 onwards from last year. So he got 127, 86, 113, 94, 124, 77, 100, 104, 135.
Yep, and you'd be pretty happy with that at 480K.
Yeah, yeah. Even round 13, because I think they had the round 14 by, round 13 he went 156. All right. Anyway, he'll be an interesting one. He can be a real big POD. Yep. We'll move on to the forward line because fuck the rucks.
we don't need to talk about the rucks. Get Grundy in.
So we're going to start with the Twin Towers at Carlton. So we'll start with Harry Mackay first. So 422K, 92 average, 7% owned with an 81 break even. Now, he has an unreal run home, as does Charlie Curnow, who is 448K, 89 average, 9% owned, and a 100 break even. So obviously you're not picking both of them, Paddo, but if you could pick one, who would you pick and why?
If I was to pick one, I'd probably pick Curnow. Only because last year, I'm pretty sure he was like the seventh highest averaging forward, and that was with the forward guys that we had last year. Something to consider with obviously the fixture so far. Mackay is currently the eighth highest averaging forward, and Curnow is 11th.
That'll change.
And they will absolutely change because they've got a really nice run home, Dana. And for those that may not know, might be driving and not be able to check or whatever, but I'll read it out for you. Don't worry, I got you. Geelong this week, which isn't too bad of a matchup. And then Richmond, we know how good of a matchup that is. GWS. Now, that is with old mate Noble's Sam Taylor. So that becomes a really great matchup. I know the Giants are still good, but Sam Taylor makes them pretty fucking good in defense. So that's a nice matchup. Then the Dogs. The Dogs somehow want to play 190-centimeter guys on key forwards. So Harry Mackay and Shirley Curnow are really great matchups there. Then North Melbourne, we know how good that matchup that is, especially without the other Mackay. Yeah. Port Adelaide, pretty tough matchup. They're a pretty good team, but they still also give up pretty high scores to key forwards because their defense ain't much. They've got Radical Leah down there, who's not that great. Collingwood have had lots of key position defense carnage this year. We don't know what it's going to be like in round 21. But if you're going on probability and what we've already seen this year, it's probably going to be a nice matchup. Round 22, Hawthorn, weird to say, but that's actually kind of a tough matchup. I think Hawthorn will make the eight, and they are brilliant at the moment. Sicily's down there. He's pretty good at footy when you don't have anyone within 3 kilometres of him. Thanks, Richmond. Round 23, West Coast Eagles. That is a nice, juicy matchup. McGovern has probably pulled a hammy by then, so that will be a nice matchup. Round 24, I think the Saints will be well and truly cooked by then, and that is a nice matchup. And Carlton may need to pile on percentage, maybe to make top four, so they might be out for blood. So it's a really, really nice run home. Look, there's merit in picking both if you still need two forwards. I probably would choose one of the two. Curno was great last year. Harry Mackay has been playing a bit of ruck lately, and his average is down with Pitnett out of the team and with De Koning playing as that sole ruck and him playing that sort of backup ruck role. But Pitnett is possibly back this week, which means Harry Mackay goes back to that majority forward role, or pretty much full-time forward role. We had some really, really nice scores. Up until round eight, Dano, he was averaging 102, which is obviously really, really good.
Yeah. Can't disagree with the logic there, Paddy. Cannot disagree at all. If I was going to pick one of the two, it's going to be Charlie Curnow. Just because I feel like that man could pop off a 180 in any given moment. And you want to be along for the ride if he does.
Yeah, 100%.
Next one we got Luke Jackson, 509K, 102 average, 40% owned, 84 break even. Again, one that can pop off a 160, 170, but then also come out with a 50.
Yeah, so I've had Luke Jackson since the start. He's a bit frustrating because we have big scores and I have low scores, but he's currently the fourth highest averaging ruck forward, Dano.
Yeah.
So on that, he should be must have, and he's only in 40% of teams. Add to that, he provides ruck cover if you have a forward ruck swing as your R3, and I think he's really valuable, even with Sean Darcy in the team. Now, his last two are 98 and 115 with Sean Darcy rucking and Jackson playing forward. So we've seen that it is there. Like, he'll have the odd 60 or 70 game, but so will Isaac Rankin. So will Jake Waterman. So will Dylan Moore. So will Harry Mackay. They are the four next best averaging forwards this year. So our forward line is cooked. Luke Jackson is a good option.
Yep, fair enough. This bloke, I reckon, is this next bloke is going to pop off against Carlton. And then I'm not sure about the run home, but you reckon he's got a pretty good run home. And that's Jeremy Cameron, 420K, 86 average, 6% owned, 58 break even. I said, I think it might have been two podcasts ago, Paddo, that I was looking at bringing him in after his bye and using him as like an F7. I've kind of backed away from that because I want to try and get Ridley and whatnot. But I obviously see the merit in bringing Jeremy Cameron in because the man is a beast.
He is. His scoring has been a little bit all over the place this year because he's played wing, he's played high half forward, he's played deep forward. Like, his role has changed around a bit. But the run home is actually pretty nice. He's got West Coast in round 24, which is obviously really nice in that last round of the year. St Kilda in round 23, and we know how cooked they're going to be by then. North Melbourne in round 20, Adelaide in round 21. So that's some nice matchups coming up.
Yeah. Now, I'm disappointed, Paddo.
Are you?
I'm thoroughly disappointed, and you know why. I'm going to put this bloke on the run sheet because fuck you. Oh. Joel Amati.
Oh, Dana.
Had a ridiculously good game and a ridiculously efficient game except for one kick. Now,
just quickly, Dana, so I'm going to cut you off there.
Yeah.
Fuck you, horse, for not letting him get his 10th.
Yeah. So he's now 350K. So he's actually, since he's started his starting price was 315, Paddo. He's dropped a fair bit and now he's up to 350. So the reason why I wanted to bring him up is because with key forwards, when they have a game like this, something just seems to click and then they become way better players. Jake Waterman, prime example earlier this year. You had Tom Hawkins when he had that breakout game and then all of a sudden he just became a beast back in the day. It seems to be a common trend with these big key forwards. So all I'm saying is if you're fucking struggling for someone and you have a Shea Bolton as F6, and then you want an F7 to rotate, because there's been some strategies where people are talking about having an F7 to rotate and loop and whatnot. If you got a fucking balls of steel, because I regret not grabbing Waterman when I said I wanted him. I would honestly give this a crack. If it fails, it fails. But he's going to go up in price no matter what. His break-even is negative 52.
But what it's worth, out there. I fucking hate this. He hasn't scored over 78 all year.
I know.
We don't need cash makers anymore. Joel Amati hadn't kicked over 4 goals in his whole life, let alone his AFL career. He's got the Giants and Dockers in his next 2, and then the Saints, who are the most defensive team in the league. Against those 3 teams, he averages 40, 26.5, and 35.5.
He's the ultra POD, by the way.
I would be shocked if he gets over 80 for the rest of the year.
And now Sam Taylor's out. I'm just saying. Imagine if he goes on this fucking tear. Anyway, you've said it about one of the guys on the list. I'll jump to him now. You said it about Nick Larkey, 343K, 63 average, 2% owned, minus 44 break even. He's had back-to-back 100s, and he's got a pretty decent run home, and you're looking at him as an F7 paddo. Why can't Amati be one too?
Well, the difference is Nick Larkey's actually had scores of over 100 in his career. So I flagged Larkey 2 weeks ago, and I sort of said it as a comment of it's going to take a random key forward like that who might average 95 in the rest of the year. And then he went 131 and 114. So hindsight says I made a sort of flash in the pan prediction like that. He doesn't have a good matchup this week against Melbourne, but the run home is actually pretty good for Larkey. But I think there's better you can do with this money. And if you've got another 16K, I think that the next guy we're going to talk about is the one that you need to target if you are in this price range. And that's who I'm going to be bringing in this week.
I'm just saying, you just said there'll be a random key forward that'll have a miraculous run home. Why can't it be Amati? Literally after you said that, 180-odd fucking super coach.
Because it's Joel Amati, who has had lots of injury issues in his career and has not got enough experience to deal with the big monsters he's going to get for the rest of the year after kicking 9 goals this week.
We'll see. The guy that you want to talk about and the one that I was asking about last week when Melbourne were on their bye, Cozzy Pickett, 359K, 71 average, 0.6% of teams own him, and he's got a 69 AO break even. Now, when track went down, he went in the fucking middle. And unfortunately, it's not one of those situations where he's played one game and you can fucking watch to see if he plays in the middle again. We don't have that luxury. So if you're going to take a punt on him, now's the time, in my opinion. You could even wait a week if you wanted to see the data set. 69 break even, he might get up to 380K. Still sub 400.
No, Dano, he's going to double his predicted scores this week.
So then he might scrape 400K. Still good to bring in.
So, Dano, you need to be prepared for raging Paddo for the rest of the season because my forward line will Cozzy Pickett and Shea Bolton.
I've got Shea too, so don't worry.
There could be a week where they both pop up for 140 and I win the weekly. There could be weeks where they both drop 50s and I am
crying
when we record. But I'm along for the ride. I am shopping at Savers. I'm not even shopping at Aldi. I am going to Savers. That is the budget that I'm rolling with. Dano, Zach Fisher is in my defense line. That's how dire it is.
Holy shit.
And I've got 4 trades left.
Wow.
I have to save them. I have to save them.
Fucking Paddo.
So here we go.
Okay.
And I really, really, really want Jack Sinclair, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's another one that I'm eyeing off to. And we have, I actually don't know if we've got a question from him, but let me double check. We go to Facebook really quickly. Fucking hell. Here we go. No, we don't, but maybe on Twitter. I don't know. Nerds for Life Supercoach was discussing this, and it was basically looking at. Oh, here it is. Yeah, we'll go to Twitter first. So he said, I'm considering not picking any more mids, just going with defenders who have mid status. So Sinclair and Dacos in my midfield and having 6 defenders as well as a way of avoiding tags. Thoughts? I actually like Sinclair more than some of these fucking guys like fucking Took right now.
I agree. I think unless you don't have Tom Green.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I if you need to upgrade that last fucking spot and you're low on trades, you need that DPP, and Sinclair, honestly, will go 100 plus for the rest of the year. He fucking looks lit. So
try 120 plus.
That's still 100 plus.
So, yeah, and the reason being, unless you've got Dawson and Fisher that you can swing between your forward and defense, could you imagine a world where Luke Ryan gets a one-way expansion and your bench consists of two red and white circles?
Yeah.
And you are tossing up between a donut or wasting a trade on a one-week suspension or injury?
Yeah. Were you talking about Will Dawson then? Switching? Because Jordan Dawson's a mid-only.
No, Will Dawson.
Yeah, okay.
Or because I'm staring at Will Dawson in my fucking team. or, as Nerds for Life said, you can bring in a defense mid into your midfield. And I think Dacos and Sinclair score about the same as, you know, Butters, Merritt, Green. I think they score similar. Jack Steele.
Yeah.
Jordan Dawson, the guys that are getting tagged every second week.
Yeah.
I think they'll give you the same scoring without the up and down nature.
Yeah. I agree.
I really like it. And it gives you cover.
Yeah. Yeah. Move on to Facebook. So we've got Lloydie. He said, I should have 19 playing before trades this week. Is targeting Ridley as his final upgrade? Decisions are between these two trade options, Pato. So the first one is out. Apparently it's Reveal, not Revel.
No, it's Breville. Breville, the toasty maker.
Oh, yeah, we'll go with Breville. Out Breville, Frazier, and Harrison. In Schoenmaker, Kruger, and Ridley. Or option two, out Jack Steele, Frazier, Harrison, in Connor Rosie, Ridley, and Schoenmaker. So which one would you go with out of those two? Because the man really wants Ridley.
I would probably go the second because Rosie's there.
Okay. I can dig it. Yeah.
But I don't love trading out Steele. Part of me thinks, and maybe it's just wishful thinking, but part of me thinks the week off this week will do Jack Steele a world of good because he always plays injured.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Fair. We'll go on to the next one. Liam says, my trades for this week are looking like D Jones, Steele, and Green out. I would hold off on Darcy Jones trading him out if it's that who we're thinking of, and I'd hold off on trading Green out. So I'm just going to say fucking no. Because he wants Darcy Jones, Steele, and Green out for Whitfield, Merritt, and Livingston. So Darcy Jones is a test, Paddo, for the Giants. And after what we've said about Tom Green, you don't want to fucking trade him out.
Yeah, I want to say a big no for this as well. Merritt, as we discussed before, big tag risk, and you'll be kicking yourself if Steele and Green both average 105 for the rest of the year while Merritt gets tagged every second week for an 80.
Yeah.
And Whitfield has been tagged all year.
No, he hasn't.
I mean, he's had a lot of attention.
I think he's only had attention like 3 times.
I'm going to say no.
4 times, sorry. He's had attention 4 times. Actually, no, against the Suns, he just played shit. So, yeah, 3 times. There you go. Yeah, I'm going to say no to that one. Okay, and then the next question. Jason says, Grundy and Merritt or English and LDU, Pato? That's the first question that he has. That is a good fucking question. I'm going to say English and LDU.
Well, LDU just went in for an MRI, so...
That's the rumor. But if he...
Yeah, fuck it.
You should have started Grundy.
Well, I did, and I kept him all year.
Same. Poor 80K. Good, thanks. As I cough away from the microphone.
This is hard. I'd almost say Grundy and not Merritt, but someone else.
Yeah. I'll move on to the next one. Do we think Sexton will keep his spot once Powell comes back in? If yes, then is it better to keep him or Boak as a cover swing option? Now, I'm going to stop the rant that he's gone on there. We were talking about this before we were recording, Pato, and I was saying Sexton statistically is the worst kick in the Gold Coast team. He's the most inefficient player that they've got. And then they're getting Will Powell back this round because it wasn't an injury. It was a club-imposed suspension regarding... Well, was it club-imposed or AFL-imposed? Either way, about the slanderous comment. About the slanderous comment that he did. He will play this week. There's no doubt about it. Dimmer wants a finals appearance. He fucking plays Will Powell. So...
I'll tell you who else will play this weekend, Dana. A bit of breaking news.
Who?
A 102K rookie that is DPP.
Tynan Brown.
Yep.
Fucking, he should have debuted in fucking opening round. His preseason was lit. Anyway. Yeah, I reckon Sexton gets dropped. I hope that he plays one more week because I want that extra little cash rise for myself. But it won't surprise me if Sexton gets dropped. And I'm preparing about three different trade scenarios right now for Sexton being dropped. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what teams do.
Yeah. I don't think we've got any other questions unless you got some DMs. Or did we get a DM on the Facebook page? It's usually fucking Dallas. Or Dalla, sorry. No, Dalla has not. Oh, well, you know what that means, Paddo?
Captains.
We're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing because every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. Fucking woo-woo. I should probably put some air horns back in. Nah, that was an episode 100 thing. Oh, shit. Anyway, as I scroll back to round 15, Paddo, we got the Friday game, second versus six. It's Carlton versus Geelong at the MCG. Who do you have in this one and why?
If Pitnet doesn't play, Tom De Koning.
Now, I've heard a lot of other podcasts talking about this motherfucker. And he's on a fucking tear. He's got like back-to-back 140s or whatever. And yeah, shit. It's gone up another level. And some Carlton fans are screaming out for De Koning to play Sol Ruck, whereas others are like, nah, we're a better team with Pitnet.
I believe the statistics say that they haven't lost a game with him as the main ruck. And all of their losses have come with Pitnet as the main ruck.
Ooh. So statistically, you'd want to keep him as the main ruck.
If you look at the data, yes.
There you go. Michael Voss, there's something for you.
Listen to Paddo.
Listen to fucking Paddo, even though he hates Carlton. But he hates Geelong more.
I do. That is true.
Look, yeah, De Koning, if you've got him a VC in this game, I would understand if you do own him. How fucking much is he right now, by the way, Paddo?
515K.
You are joking me.
Nope.
What the fuck? That is redonkulous.
It is.
I just want to... Koning. There we go. Just want to look at his like average at the moment. His break-even's fucking 14, Paddo. Three-round average of 139, five-round of 102.2.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's gone 131, 140, 146. Holy shit. Yeah, do not mind that at all. Anyone else?
Sam Walsh, I don't mind. Extra long boy might be keen to do well against them.
He's a bit weird at the moment. Last game, he went to the bench way too much than what I thought someone who's got a really good tank would do.
Yeah, he's not marking the ball. So he's missing out a lot of points around the ground, which is... something he's traditionally done pretty well to tick up those points. So
can I say something about Walsh? So he's actually regressed in scoring each year against Geelong. So he's gone 158, then 126, then 104.
Yep, that's as he's moved out of the midfield.
And that 104 came in round 7, 2024.
Remember after two games, don't I, and everyone said he was must-have and people would regret not bringing him in?
I mean, yeah.
Remember what I said that week?
Well, I haven't been disappointed.
Fair enough.
Like, yeah, I haven't been disappointed at all.
It's not given me. Ebony's like Clayton Oliver is.
Yeah, but at the same time, for me, his average, well, the highest he's got is 119. So, yeah, pretty disappointing there. Still better than Luke Ryan's 79 average for me. Fucking arsehole. Anyway, we'll move on. Anyone from Geelong?
A lock for captain this week.
Anyone from Geelong?
No.
No. Cool. Jesus, don't give me that attitude. Jesus.
Vols suck, mate.
Yeah, they're fucking trash. Anyway, Saturday, can't even win against the Giants at GMHBA. Saturday, Port Adelaide versus Brisbane at Adelaide Oval.
I don't know if I like anyone in this game, don't I? Maybe Connor Rosie.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a real PODVC.
Like Lockie, I'm not sure really if it's.
I'm not sure if it's worth risking the VC, like wasting the VC.
Lockie Neal has a very good history against Port Adelaide. His lowest was round one last year with a 95, then he's gone 140, 130.
You don't think Dane Zorko will go against Port Adelaide?
I don't know. And he's a hard one to read based on previous history because his role's just different.
Yeah. So they conceded 134 against Lockie Whitfield last week. Would be a decent VC option.
Maybe.
People might be scarred from last week when Zorko was 105 or something at halftime and only got 140.
I wasn't disappointed.
I was happy with the VC.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, we went on record as saying that's the biggest lock in Supercoach history, and 140, what can you hate about that?
Well, my backup, which was Luke Ryan, going to got in the 70s.
Yeah, he would have been my backup as well.
Yeah. I'll move on from this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Giants versus Swans. Now, I said Tom Green likes the Swans. Would you VC him, though? Probably not. He's kind of annoying at the moment.
No.
You take away his five, and then he's got 126, 118.
My VC is coming in this game, Dana.
Oh, is that coming? Yeah, he is a pest.
And someone that averages 107 at this venue.
Oh.
And it is someone.
Brody Grundy.
That has a 3-round average of 131 and a 5-round average of 122 against a team that concedes big scores to this against position.
Rucks.
Brody Grundy.
it's not even SCG Grundy. It's Engie Stadium Grundy this time.
Yeah, but I think it'll
Sydney
be fine.
Grundy. Sydney
I think
Grundy.
It'll be fine. Yeah, so obviously at the SCG, but he dropped 143 against the Giants in round 8 this year. I'd be happy with that as a VC and lock it in.
Yeah, fair. No one else?
I mean, I don't mind a Heaney bounce back. I think he'll do pretty well to bounce back. Only the 109.
He did last game.
Yep.
You called it.
Yep.
You actually said it wouldn't surprise you if Heaney bounced back and he got the same score as Dane Zorko.
Yeah, so I said he was due, and I called that. Errol Goulden might not be too bad of an option. He's been in pretty good form.
Has he?
I guess it just depends on how you think this game goes. And I'm predicting a close game in this one, Dano.
And
maybe Bedford tags again, and who really knows who he goes to.
He'll tag again, and I can guarantee you it won't be Goulden and it won't be Heaney. I reckon he goes to Warner.
And it won't be Grundy.
Oh, obviously. But Bedford wouldn't be able to keep up with Goulden, and I don't think he has the physical capacity for Heaney. Well, Heaney's too smart for him anyway. Whereas
yeah, so
Warner...
Heaney would just go forward and destroy Bedford.
Yeah, so basically what Bedford was doing to Butters was he was tagging him around the midfield, and then when he basically forced Hinkley to push Butters up forward, which he wasn't good at. So... I mean, if they do that with Heaney, you kind of don't want Heaney to go up forward because he can destroy you there. I know Chad Warner, you kind of don't want to go up forward either, but I'd be more worried about Heaney than Warner up forward, to be honest.
Yeah.
Even though Warner can kick bags of three. Yeah. Yeah, I like the Grundy call. Grundy call's good.
I think Grundy's a nice safe VC here. In a week that's kind of awkward because I've got some big scorers not playing. We've got Dacos out.
Bont.
Yeah, Bont's not playing.
Yeah.
I don't have Max Gorn, so I don't have the safety of leaning on him for a VC, which hurts.
We'll move on to that game then.
Yeah.
So that's Melbourne versus North. So that's 2 hours, 55 minutes after. I think North Melbourne win this game.
I think they win this as well, but I think Bont will get it 160.
I called it when Petrarca got injured that North will beat him.
It's
on the podcast. Yeah, so $5.10, gamble responsibly. Gorn definitely.
Yeah.
LDU
has a nice record against West Coast, 134 and 178 in his last two.
with LDU, if the MRI news is fake, would you go there?
No, not with any sort of history, not with anything hanging over him. It's kind of crazy because there are a few guys that didn't train last week, Dano, and they all pulled crazy high scores.
Yeah.
Dacos got 129 and he was tagged for three quarters. Bontempelli dropped 162 after having the flu all week and not training. Who else missed training and went nuts? I can't remember.
Don't know.
Someone else did.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think Gorn's the obvious one here.
Yeah, okay. I actually don't like anyone on Sunday for a straight out C.
Really?
No.
Nah, there's heaps of good options here.
Oh, Essendon versus West Coast at Marvel Stadium, considering West Coast fucking gave them a right old scarer in WA last time.
Away from Perth, Essendon should do really well here. Ridley and Merritt, I think, are both high-ceiling guys for this game.
Yeah.
Merritt dropped 121 at Optus Stadium in round 8 this year. Dropped a 143 against them at Marvel last year. So I like Merritt, even though I'm concerned about his run home. And yep. Ridley, in a key defense role last year, dropped 131 against West Coast. So imagine what he could do in a loose intercept role.
Yeah, fair.
Yep, so they're the two I really like. Nick Martin might not be too bad of an option, but I don't think you waste a C on him. Sorry, Jake I missed Waterman one for the Melbourne game, don't I?
Yep.
Cozzy Pickett. Maybe wishing it into existence.
Yeah, I think you are. But like me saying Jake Waterman 170 against Essendon.
Whoa. Anyway, next game. This is a juicy.
Imagine if that fucking happens. Holy shit. Oh, wishing it into existence. 7 goals. He'll beat his PB of 6 goals, which he only did this year. Cool. Okay. Last game, Frio versus the Suns. You are saying for a big bounce back game by Lukey Ryan.
Yes, I know a lot of people don't like waiting for the last game of the round to drop the C. I think Luke Ryan has a big game. I think Jordan Clark has a big game. And I also think Caleb Sarong has a big game.
See, I'm scared because Gold Coast, he doesn't have a great record against Gold Coast.
Who?
Luke Ryan.
That was before he was a primo.
No, you were calling him a fake primo last year. He only got a 93.
So Gold Coast have been shit before the Lord Messiah Dimmer Hardwick went there.
Yeah.
So they kick a lot of behinds.
So realistically, shouldn't that mean that Ryan should have scored better when Dimmer wasn't coach?
No, because the ball never was down in the forward line.
Okay.
I like Caleb Sarong in this game, though. 146 last year against the Suns. Pretty certain they won't put a tag on him, so I think he is absolutely due for a big score. And I think it come this week. Had a few weeks where he's been down just a little bit in form. I think he bounces back in a big way this week.
Yeah, don't mind that at all. I fucking forgot he was in my team.
Do you know? I want to know what's honest. Crazy.
What?
I don't know about people not in my team, but Luke Jackson has the highest projected score for guys in my team this week.
What's that?
135.
Really?
So he averages 125 against Gold Coast in 3 games.
Jesus.
Had 98 against them last year, 137 against them in 2022, and 141 against them in 2021, which was obviously a premiership year.
You know who has...
No, 2022 was the premiership.
A ridiculously high projected in my team that you wouldn't think.
Max Gorn? No.
Jason Horn Francis.
Oh, don't even.
127.
No.
He's had 2 games against Brisbane. One was a 67, and then the other one was a 136.
Another one I don't mind in this game, Dano, who have been giving up big scores to halfbacks lately, is Sam Jordan Flanders. Clark.
Oh, yeah, Flanders, fuck. They're the guys that you just forget about.
So if you want the safety, if you're worried about Luke Ryan, if you're worried about Caleb Sarong or whatever, Flanders is the only guy that hasn't dropped below 100 all year.
Yeah, how fucking mental is that? That ton run is sexy good.
And if you talk about a safe captaincy score, it's Sam Flanders.
Yeah, 100%.
And Freo have actually been conceding kind of high scores to halfbacks this year. So I like him for a nice, safe 120.
Would you go VC, Grundy, C, Flanders?
I'm going Ryan, but I'm pretty confident Grundy goes enough. So it should be Grundy, VC, Livingston, C.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go Grundy, VC, Livingston, C.
Or I might even put the C on Dacos just to be a bit different.
Right, one new. Watching Brody Grundy play and his super coach is very frustrating because, like, you're like, oh, yeah, he's on 20. And then all of a sudden it's like 15 minutes later, he's still on 20.
Yeah, and then he'll give away a free kick or something.
2 to 3 minute spurt, then all of a sudden he's up to like 60 something.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fucking frustrating. The fact that the man can score so big so quick is ridiculous. Yeah. All right, Pato, what's your Twitter handle?
At PATOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. Not going to update the Podmasters and whatnot because I think we've taken up a bit too much time with the discussion this week, Pato. So we might do that one next week, but I'm still on top, baby. Still on top. Snag that win. Oh, yeah. Anyway, find us on Facebook as well because I keep forgetting to do this one every like 4 weeks, Pato. It's we are the Supercoach Co-Captains on Facebook. Chuck us a like. If you're listening on Spotify or Google podcasts and whatnot, can you give us a rating? It helps get us out there and helps push us up those preferred podcasts for Supercoach. So if you could do that, that'd be great. And I know early days when we started, Pato, because we drop a lot of fucks and we drop a lot of bitch and other things. Because of that, some people rated us a 1 star. So our average at the moment is like 3 point something because they didn't like our language used. So
fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them. You know what? If you don't like us, don't rate. If you don't like us, why are you listening, honestly?
Why are you still here?
Yeah, why are you here? Fuck off. But for those that like the language, that like the content, that have supported us over 100 and whatever episodes, you guys 101. Are legends. You guys, no, isn't this 102?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, anyway, it's too
much. I'm just here to talk shit.
Talk shit, not get hit. Yeah, anyway. You guys are legends. So from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.
Catch you, legends.